following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. What a great celebration we had last week, wasn't it? I was so encouraged and inspired by the ways that our students are growing and learning more about the Lord, and the ways that they are making their faith their own. We got to hear about the ways that God's Word is speaking into the lives of those students. And maybe we are even reminded in that time of verses and passages that have had special meaning for each of us over the years. For me, that's one of the things that's really beautiful about the Bible, that it continues to speak to us year after year, in all seasons of our life, in the good and in the bad, in the painful and in the wonderful. Even those verses and those passages and books that we have read over and over. The other Sunday, I was chatting with Kathy McCauley after the service, and she mentioned that through that day's reading of the book of Ruth, she had heard something new. And it was especially interesting because she had just done, on different occasions with different groups, studies on and reading through the book of Ruth. So it was fresh in her mind. Even still, God continued to work through this book. And I just love the way God's Word does that for us and does that to us. That we can never know God's Word too well. That we can never read it too much. So this morning, we're going to have the chance to dive back into the book of Ruth. And before we get there, because it's been a couple of weeks, I'll do a quick recap, and then we'll pick back up where we left off. So in the first few verses, we met two of our main characters and their family. We met Naomi and her husband, Elimelech. And these two move with their sons, Chilion and Mahlon, to Moab after a famine struck their homeland in Bethlehem, Judah. When they were in Moab, Chilion and Mahlon married Orpah and Ruth, two Moabite women. And the fact that they went to Moab and that these women were from Moab would not have been received well by the original audience of the book of Ruth. The original audience would not be expecting anything good to come from Moab. While in Moab, Naomi's husband Elimelech died. Just terrible. And then 10 years later, Ruth and Orpah's husbands, Chilion and Mahlon, died, leaving Naomi in this foreign country without any of her family. She was stuck. And then in chapter 2, we see how God placed Ruth in the right place and brought Boaz in at just the right time. And we read the ways that God used Boaz to provide for Ruth and Naomi. We saw that God used and showed God's own hesed, love, kindness, mercy, and grace through Boaz, showing chesed. What Boaz did because he wanted to. Because he was in awe of the love and kindness that Ruth showed to Naomi. And through these actions, we see God at work. Intimately at work in each of these people's lives. And now, even though Ruth was well cared for here by Boaz, even though she gleaned enough grain for her and Naomi to survive on, at least for a little while, Naomi wants more. She wants more for her, but really she wants more for Ruth. And we'll see this morning how Naomi plans to move towards a full, rich future for Ruth. And so this morning we're reading in Ruth chapter 3. I'll let you turn there now. If you don't have a Bible and would like one either for today or to keep, feel free to raise your hand and one of our ushers would be happy to bring you a Bible. Before we read in Ruth 3, let me pray for us. Holy God, I pray that your word speaks to us this morning. that we find you in it, that we find your promises to us in it, and that we know that you are a God who loves us. We pray this all in the holy and precious name of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ruth chapter 3. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know that you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until the morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing," and hold it out. When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Similar to the previous chapter, we have 3 scenes here. In the first scene, verses 1-5, we have Naomi talking with Ruth. Naomi talks about needing to find a home for Ruth, and the Hebrew word there speaks of contentment and peace, not just a physical dwelling. This is Naomi's chance to show chesed for Ruth. Ruth has shown incredible amounts of love and mercy and loyalty to Naomi. She has been amazing to Naomi. And we have seen Boaz show chesed to both Ruth and Naomi through provision to Ruth. He has cared for them, he has loved them, offered mercy and grace and protection. And now, it's Naomi's turn. Naomi says to Ruth, "We need to find you more than just this existence, more than just gleaning. You need a life, a marriage, peace, safety, and provision." And Naomi has a plan. The plan involves Boaz, the man who is a close relative of both of theirs, through Elimelech's clan there in Bethlehem. Naomi tells Ruth to get ready, to clean up, to put on some perfume, and the NIV says, "Get dressed in your best clothes." Other translations talk about a raiment, a cloak, or even just garments. And the Hebrew here is a little bit vague. But one of the most intriguing things that I read about this particular word was that this likely was Naomi's suggestion for Ruth to change out of her mourning garments. The garments, likely black, or we would expect them to be black, that she was wearing as she was mourning the death of her husband, and to return to wearing normal clothes. It's not very likely that either of them had much in the way of clothes, especially since at this point they were gleaning to even be able to eat. And I see this as being a really gracious and loving gesture for Naomi to offer this particular freedom to Ruth. Speaking, admittedly, in the relational realities of today, there can be kind of a unique tension. And tension wasn't the right word, but as I was sitting there looking at it, I couldn't think of a better one that I wanted to use. But a unique tension between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law of a deceased son. It's certainly not a guarantee, but at some point that daughter-in-law may want to date again, may want to marry again. But how will that affect the mother-in-law? How will that affect the family of the deceased husband? It's not a tension that's necessarily a bad tension, but it certainly can be a challenging tension for sure. And so I believe that Naomi is seeing this tension and offering Ruth this gesture, telling her to take off her mourning clothes and to put back on her normal clothes. Even just encouraging her to get ready for this encounter with Boaz. This gesture would be an incredible gift to Ruth. Freeing, maybe exciting, I imagine nerve-wracking. So then Naomi's instructions continue. And we have to wonder whether Ruth knew the risks involved in Naomi's plan. All sorts of bad things could have come from the situation that Ruth was being instructed to head into. Boaz could have been appalled and humiliated Ruth, telling the town about what she was doing, claiming that she had done far worse. Boaz could have taken advantage of her. Someone else could have seen and blown the whistle, humiliating and even putting Ruth in danger with the law. And certainly not the worst necessarily, but quite possible, Boaz could have just been not at all okay with the situation, blown Ruth off, ending what chance there may have been of appealing to his role as one of their kinsmen. So Naomi was sending Ruth into a potentially dangerous situation, but also a situation that had the opportunity to be a great source of redemption and provision for both Ruth and Naomi. Ruth, as if we would have expected anything else of her, complies and heads off to the threshing floor to seek Boaz. Just a quick aside, I found it fascinating to learn about winnowing. I've lived in cities and suburbs my whole life, and so like the idea of winnowing isn't something that I know, and probably people in the prairies don't necessarily know. I think we have more sophisticated methods of separating the meat of barley, for lack of a better word. But basically, they're thrown up in the air, and the lighter parts that you don't want get blown further away than the seed that you want that drops because it's heavier. And so you have to do it in a wind. So there are particular times that you have to do it. Just thought it was this interesting thing. Maybe you don't think it's as interesting. Maybe I'm just showing how nerdy I am as I read commentaries about Ruth, but I found it fascinating. Scene 2, verses 6 through 15, is Ruth and Boaz's interaction on the threshing room floor. Ruth follows Naomi's instruction, mostly. She doesn't just wait, as Naomi tells her, but she is the one who initiates the conversation after Boaz is startled awake. Can you imagine being Boaz in this situation, going to sleep in either an empty room or at least an empty corner of a room, and then waking up to find someone laying at your feet? Yikes! Ruth lets Boaz know that it's her, and then she says something that may seem a bit odd to us in 21st century Canada. She says, "Spread the corner of your garment over me." This is essentially a marriage proposal. And there's all kinds of imagery that goes into this gesture of spreading the garment over Ruth. The idea of wings covering in protection over someone. Ruth is asking Boaz here to marry her. And so with that being the case, Boaz's response makes so much more sense. Without that context, Boaz would be acting pretty extreme in response to just sharing the corner of a blanket. But he is thrilled at this possibility of a marriage proposal. Thrilled because obviously he thinks very highly of Ruth, as does the whole town. The town knows who Ruth is. They know the chesed that she has shown Naomi. They know the way that she has worked to care for her mother-in-law. And the town and Boaz respect this, even though Ruth is a Moabite. Ruth is also, we understand from Boaz's response, young enough to be able to marry someone younger. Ruth potentially has good prospects in those regards. Ruth needn't go after someone older like Boaz, but she does. And the fact that she does says something important about her relationship with and her continued desire to care for Naomi and to be a part of this plan. This is an act of loyalty that Ruth continues to do for this family. This is her new family. This looks fantastic for Ruth and Naomi, and frankly for Boaz. But there's a twist. Boaz is not the closest relative. He's not the closest, and yes, I'm going to throw another Hebrew word at you, the closest Goel. Goel is not, like chesed, necessarily one of my favorite Hebrew words, but it is an important word to understand why Boaz has to hold off on a commitment to Ruth immediately, and it also gives us some important context for what we'll read in chapter 4 in a couple of weeks. Simply translated, Goel means kinsman redeemer. It is the nearest adult male blood relative who would serve as an advocate for any vulnerable and or unfortunate clan or family members. In doing this, they would correct any sort of disruption to clan wholeness, well-being, or shalom. This most often occurred in redeeming or restoring property, persons, or the family line. And it was the clan or family group that is the focus of the law surrounding this word, this idea of the Goel. And there are seven specific contexts in which the Goel would perform this function as a kinsman redeemer. To redeem property once owned by an impoverished clan relative, but sold out of economic necessity. To redeem impoverished clan relatives who were forced to sell themselves into servitude to either a resident alien or another Israelite. To act as the blood redeemer, or to avenge the killing of a clan member, restoring, again, clan wholeness. To act as a recipient of money paid as restitution for a wrong committed against a clan relative now deceased, hence restoring clan wholeness. To assist a clan relative in a lawsuit so that justice is done. To redeem the wife of the deceased in order to raise up the name of the deceased upon his property by acquiring the wife of the deceased. This restores clan wholeness. And finally, to redeem or restore a clan widow facing old age alone without anyone to care for her. So there are a lot of opportunities for the Goel to care for their kinsmen and women, certainly. And the word Goel is an important one. These are not requirements, though. It's a responsibility, but not an obligation. Hence, Naomi and Ruth are not immediately redeemed in a way that would restore them to wholeness. And there are two of these seven responsibilities that clearly fall into Boaz's mind as he discusses this with Naomi. The redemption of the wife of the deceased, and the redemption of property, in this case, as we'll see in a couple weeks, land. But Boaz is not the closest male heir. Someone else is. And we know Boaz to be too honorable a man to do something that isn't right, something that isn't legal, something that doesn't fall into place in the correct way. Boaz has to go about this the right way. Otherwise, he could hurt his own reputation, and that could affect negatively Ruth and Naomi as well. And so he promises to go about this the right way, to bring this situation to the man who is more closely related, who has the responsibility / opportunity to do his duty as Goel. And the scene ends with Ruth leaving in the still dark hours of morning before people could be recognized. And again, though, Boaz proves to be the man of noble character that we have found him to be all throughout this book. He doesn't want Ruth to go home empty-handed. He fills her shawl, her cloak, with 6 measures. We don't know what measures. There's all sorts of speculation that I could get into if you want me to, but I won't right now. 6 measures of barley. Then he lifts it onto her head and sends her on her way back to Naomi. At the same time, he heads into town to find this more closely related Goel. And scene 3 is back with just Ruth and Naomi. Naomi asks the obvious question. How did it go? What happened? Are you engaged? And Ruth fills Naomi in on all that happened. She showed her the barley that Boaz had given her, and with it offers a phrase that would hold so much power for us if we were all reading this in the Hebrew. But Ruth tells Naomi that Boaz said, "Don't go back to your mother empty-handed." This word empty is the key, because it's an allusion back to chapter 1, verse 21, where Naomi declares that she went away full, but the Lord has brought her back empty. She's not. She is not empty. Boaz doesn't want this. The Lord is making it clear that this is not the case. Through Ruth, through Boaz, God is at work in Naomi's life, keeping her away from the emptiness that she had experienced. And I believe that Naomi is recognizing this, that she is recognizing God is at work here in her life in amazing ways, because she is so sure of what Boaz will do. I don't think this is the response we would have seen from Naomi earlier on in this book. She is sure that he will not rest until the matter is settled. She knows that God is at work through Boaz, and she has faith that God will do what she sees him already at work doing. So Naomi and Ruth wait. They wait to see what will happen with Boaz's conversation. But what will become of these two women? What challenges are there before Boaz as he sets off into town, as he negotiates with his relative? And then what more will the Lord do through these three? We'll see in a couple weeks. Lord, we continue to be in awe of the ways that you love us, the ways that you care for us, redeem us, show us mercy and grace, show us kindness, and are loyal to us even in our brokenness and our failure. Lord, we are thankful for the reminders of your chesed in your servants Ruth and Boaz and Naomi. Heavenly Father, help us to continue to be aware of the ways we can be your instruments of your chesed in the world. We pray this all in the name of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.